Welcome back, everyone. I've got another episode of The X, and today I have on Nadia Edwards. She's a Gen X dating coach. She works with midlife women and helping them get into the whole dating space again, especially if you haven't been dating for a while. And we're going to get into, you know, different aspects of what that looks like. Nadia, welcome. It's so great to have you on today.
Hi, Brenda. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
How did you get into Gen X dating? I want to know some of the backstory on this.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. If you had met me like 10 years ago or so, you'd have been like, she's a dating coach? Absolutely not. My dating skills were, let's say, subpar, to say the least. I picked all the wrong men, attracted all the wrong men, or so I thought at the time. And then when I hit my 40s, during my 40s, I just like couldn't get it right. Didn't know what I was doing. And I had this moment where I had my heart broken really badly. And I decided I had to do something different. Mm-hmm. And then that whole transition led me to meet my life partner. And then once I did that, I noticed that there were other women who are just like me who are having the same struggles. And I wanted to help them. And that's kind of how my dating coach life began. And I only help women because Gen X women are my jam. Like, if you're Gen X, I am here for you. And I think because of the complexities of dating in our age group, it's mm-hmm. just very different and it does not get talked about enough.
So I love that. You went after something that, you know, you solved a problem for yourself and then it became sort of your passion. You could see other people, other women, midlife, 40 something, struggling with this. And you wanted to dive in and help them with this. Yes. And we were just talking before we pressed the record button. You've recently left your corporate job. So you're in this like full time now, like you're working, like cultivating this business for yourself and working with more and more women.
Yes, I am. And, so it's funny. It's very similar to like dating, this whole transition, right? Trying to figure out, where do I go from here? What mm-hmm. do I do now? You know, what tools do I use? And it's very similar. But leaving corporate America, I loved my job, but I wanted to do something more. I wanted to commit more of my time and energy to helping women.
I love that. I love it. Do you mind if we go a little bit behind the scenes before we get into I want our listeners obviously to hear about dating. And this is something I think just as a side note for my listeners, because I'm here as a business coach and most of the people that listen to my podcast are interested in starting up their business. But one of the things that everyone has to know for me as a business coach, it's just not about the business. It's about all the other things that go on in our life. And that's why I wanted to also bring on Nadia onto our podcast today, because we got to talk about these things. It's not just about like building this business. And then, you know, when you're 85, looking back at your life and having regrets, it's like, no, we want to have the love, the relationships, the intimacy with this great partner. And it may mean that you have to start dating again, if, you know, depending on where you're at in midlife. But Nadia, I just want to ask you a couple of questions about starting up your business and just mm-hmm. even like kind of behind the scenes. What would be one piece of advice that you would give your newbie self, knowing what you know now, about starting up a business, running the business that you do?
One piece of advice I would definitely say to get help, because mm-hmm. it is hard to do it all by yourself. So for me, before I transitioned, and even now that I'm transitioning, I have a virtual assistant.
Okay.
And she and her business helps me keep everything together, because there's just, you know, as an entrepreneur, as a solopreneur, there are so many responsibilities, from social media, from clients, from, you know, expense, all of the things. And when you're by yourself, you definitely need the help. So I would definitely recommend get help early, because that really helps you keep everything in track, and it frees up your mental capacity so that mm-hmm. you can really focus on the business and growing it.
And so thank you for sharing that. And as a midlife woman dating, when you were dating before you found your life partner and like starting up your business, mm-hmm. what were some things that you just, or even in your corporate job, like you just kind of kept in check with to make sure that, you know, like, I mean, there's lots of, like we said earlier, there's lots of like plates that we have spinning in the air sometimes. And it's just like, how did you balance that all?
Yeah, I became very intentional about time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, working in corporate America, everything is, you know, everything's a schedule. You have all these different meetings. And I brought that over into how do I make time to date, which I think a lot of Gen X women struggle with. We have so many things competing for our attention. Mm-hmm. And what I did was I would make, you know, time throughout my week. And it didn't have to be anything, you know, tremendous, but I made sure to do things. For instance, I would go to work and get dressed up, you know, dress, go to work. And I would intentionally spend like maybe an hour after work to go to, you know, anything nearby the office and then see if I can meet someone. Or I would spend 20 minutes on an online dating app. And I would always make pockets of time. I would set a meeting on my calendar and it would be like, do something for dating. And I think, you know, when you leave, like, I'll date when I have the time, it just doesn't happen. So becoming more intentional about making that specific time allotment is important.
What do you think some of the challenges are for women around dating at midlife?
Say it again.
What are some of the challenges that you think midlife women face around dating?
Oh, some of the challenges. I can give, so the top three is making the time. Another challenge is, you know, if you're a Gen X, you probably have aging parents, right? Aging parents who are either becoming very sick or they have other challenges. And now you have become that caregiver, right? And what do you do with that person? That takes a lot of time and energy. And then another thing, another challenge is, you know, if you have children, adult children, or if you have younger children, some Gen X women do have younger children, you know, how do you, you know, make time for the kids? Do you introduce this new person that you're dating to your children and all those complexities? Mm-hmm. And I'll add another one that's really a big one too, is the discussion of finances. By the time you're Gen X, you're already, most Gen X women, right? We have, you know, accomplished certain things and our finances are at a certain level and we're very protective of our nest egg, right? We don't want to meet someone who either doesn't have his stuff together, or, you know, how does that merge, or do you merge? Do you merge the finances? Do you keep them separate? And that's another challenge that comes up.
How do you bring up some of those discussions when you're dating? Because I mean, it's kind of like when I think back to, and I was telling you a little bit about my story before we pressed record. It's like, when I think back to like my 20s, I mean, I didn't even financials, it was like living paycheck to paycheck, even if I had a paycheck type of thing, right? It was just like, what is that? Spending money on clothes, not thinking about future planning, et cetera. To yes, where I'm at now in my 50s, things are a lot different. How do you bring that up into discussions? And like, when do you bring that up? Is that like the first date? Is that the second date?
So what I advise the women that I work with is to really know what your values are. If finances is one of your top five values, then have that conversation by like the second date. I wouldn't say the first date. The first date, you just want to see, you know, do you want to have a second date with this person?
Sure.
But by the second or third, you really want, if that's important, right? If that's one of your top five personal values, and if that is a big determinant of how your future life will look like, you want to have that conversation. So you could say something like, hey, is it okay that we have an open conversation about our finances? You know, it is important for me because, you know, in like 5 years, I want to travel the world. You know, are you able to do that too? Which is, you know, you want to bring those type of things up. And that really ties back into what are your personal values and what future life experiences do you want to have? Because if this person that you're dating doesn't align with any of that, so, and I keep saying that because for me, traveling is big. I love to travel.
Yeah.
So, right. So in the early conference, so you want to make sure that as you're dating, you ask, like I kept asking these questions, you know, so where do you like to travel? Mm. You know, where do you stay when you travel? Because I like to travel a certain way. I like to go to certain places. And I wanted to make sure that person, based on their responses, kind of matched where I wanted to go and where I have been going.
I love that. Even when I was dating, so my story is that I was divorced 6 years ago, started dating a couple of years after my divorce. But as I was building up my profile, like I even put some of that stuff in the profile. Like my pictures were of me on my trips. doing things, and not just me in a bikini, but actually like me behind, like, you know, whatever, a historical structure, because that's what I like to go see. I want to, my trips for me are not just about going to beaches or lakeside properties, but like, I want to go to Europe. So like, I had pictures of me in Europe doing those things. And, you know, even in those correspondence back and forth with somebody that maybe matched my profile, it was like, they would even say to me, oh, you like to travel? Yes, I like to travel to Europe. I want to travel to Europe a lot. And they would say, oh, I don't like to travel. I don't like to even be on planes. I don't like to, you know, go more than 25K away from my house, you know, or miles away from my house. It's like, okay, then like, it's probably not going to work. Like, not to sound superficial, it's not just about travel. I mean, obviously there's other things I like to do. And not to say it's predicated on like someone, you know, I guess, making a certain income, but I think you're right. Like, we're midlife, we're pretty certain about what we like and what we don't like. And if we have to start making sacrifices around those things just to be with somebody, I think we have that empowerment now that we can also just say, right, no, like, this, I'm not ready for this relationship with this person. They're not a good match for me. I mean, what's sort of your thought around that? Because I think that steps into the values conversation you're talking about.
I think that as Gen X women, I think it is okay for you to get what you want. Mm-hmm. Like, it is okay. And sometimes I think we kind of fall into this, you know, am I being superficial because I want to travel to Europe? And, you know, no, if you're a Gen X woman, you are entitled to get everything that you want and to find the partner that wants to have or wants to share the same things with you. Like, don't, you know, sometimes and when I work with women, you know, I kind of see that hesitation, like, you know, I really want a nice guy. And I'm like, yeah, we all, you know, yes, you do, yes, but course, you also yeah. want some, right? But you also want someone to enjoy life with. And mm-hmm. if your core values and if the life experiences that you want includes travel, or it doesn't include travel, it may include moving to another state, it may include moving to Portugal, whatever it is. When you're talking to that person and going through that courting stage and dating, ask these questions up front, because you'll save yourself a lot of time, a lot of time. And like, to your point, Brenda, when, you know, the people on that you were conversing with and they're like, oh, well, I don't do that. And it's like, okay, that's fine. And then, you know, you push them to the side and you go to the next person.
Right. And so this time factor, because I think that's where I've heard from some of my friends or even some of my clients, like, oh, it takes so much time. I just don't know if I have the time. I mean, part of my response has been, and I'd love to hear your take on it, is, well, again, what matters most to you, right? So if it's like, if your health matters most to you, then that goes on your top five priorities, and that should be showing up in your calendar, right? So going to the gym, going for walks, whatever that looks like, you know, planning your meals better. So it's the same type of practice that you would put around dating. If being in a relationship with somebody, you know, and you set a goal, like in the next 2 years is important to you, then it should be showing up, like you said, on your calendar.
Absolutely. It should be showing up. And it's very interesting because a lot of times right? So finding love, mm-hmm. just when you look at it, people always believe that it'll just happen. Like, I'll just walk outside my door and poof, I'll meet this person. And that's just not the reality. It's just not the reality. Yeah. It just doesn't work that way. And I think it has been ingrained in us for so long, you know, from the fairy tales, right? I grew up watching, you know, with fairy tales, with Cinderella and all that stuff. And yeah. even the, you know, romance novels, it's always, you know, poof, it just happens, right?
Yeah, it's like at the supermarket, you know, like whatever.
Yeah, and it's just not the reality. So mm-hmm. yeah, you have to be more intentional. And to your point, yeah, put dating on your calendar. Make an appointment, stick to the appointment. If you cancel the appointment, you know, put $100 in an account, because in your cancellation account, because it's it's important for you to keep that appointment with yourself.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and I love that too. Cause like the whole ghosting thing, I mean, people feel bad about it, but it's like more like, okay, you're just, I think at the end of the day, and again, not to sort of shame people or make people feel guilty, but it's like, you're just like really disappointing yourself more than anything, because I think it's a practice, it's a discipline. So I made, like, some of my friends know this about me and I have no problem declaring this to you, but like when I was married to my my ex-husband. We were together for 20 years. And so I made a commitment to myself that when I started dating, I would just go out there and meet 20 men. You know, it didn't, like, for every year that I was married, right? Or with my ex-partner. And it wasn't like a vengeance thing or anything like that. It was just like, I'm just going to go out there and meet 20 men and go on 20 dates. Some of them turn into 2 dates, 3 dates, 4 dates, whatever. Some of them turn into like a couple of months, like just being with somebody. And then some of them were just like, you know, a single date, get an ice cream cone, you know, at the beach or something like that. And then that was the end of it. So what's, you know, what's the process? I mean, because I think that's the other thing is that sometimes women will start dating. And I've heard this again from friends, family, colleagues, clients that, oh, like it takes so much time. Like I've gone on like, you know, 4 or 5 dates with different men and I'm just tired of meeting all these different people and they're not being the one. I mean, it can be discouraging, I know, but that's why I kind of just set that goal for myself. Like, I'm just going to meet 20 men. Like, I mean, we'll see. Like, I mean, like there's no like, there, like, it's not like, oh, are they great men or is it something about me or I don't know how to pick the right, like the winning lottery ticket. Like, it's just like, I'm just going to date 20 men and see what I learn about myself, about other people.
I so love that you took that risk to date 20 men. Like I always encourage women, you know, date multiple men at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because as women, like we always get caught up, like the first guy who seems to be the one, right?
Right.
We all of a sudden put all of our attention and energy into this one person, like by the second date, which mm-hmm. I always say, don't do that. You know, date some more men and see which one really fights for your attention. Because that's right. Because things can start really hot and then they cool off really quickly.
Right.
So you want to date multiple men. 20 is a big number, Brenda. I'm impressed.
Well, it wasn't like all in 1 week. It was a span over like 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And, you know, and I would like turn off the dating apps for, you know, a couple months or something. Because yeah, it would sometimes it's also not just getting a date with one person. You might be on this online site for a couple of weeks, like conversing with like maybe 4 or 5 different people. And then it's like, yes, I do want to go for a coffee with you and meet up with you. And then maybe the other 4, you don't end up having any face-to-face connection with, but it's still all that sort of, you know, and this is my business language. It's all that transactional stuff of like back and forth. What's your favorite color? Is this person like of interest to me before we actually set up the time to go for our coffee? So it's the 20 men that I actually went for a physical date with, but I probably talked to like well over 100 men in the span of like 3 years before I found my partner. And I mean, and again, it was like off and on. And I would have like 3 months where I didn't do anything, but then also maybe I'd be dating somebody for like 3-4 months. So it's just like, it stretches out. Some people like listening might be like, oh my gosh, that's like a serious investment of time. But I think
it's worth it though. Like,
yeah. Well, now I have my life partner, as you call your life partner. And I'm like, yeah, like I see us doing a ton of things together. Like we just continually plan like the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, because we just spent like, I feel I spent like a lot of time trying to find him. So it like from a investment of time or a payoff of time, like it was worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the reason I use the phrase life partner is because I realize, because even for me, I was not looking for a husband, mm-hmm. right? I was looking for someone that I could spend my life with, to travel with, and to just enjoy life with. But I was comfortable by myself. I was fine. I had, you know, the job, the money I already had. I'm a mother, so I already had a son. So I wasn't looking for someone to take care of me. Like I was good on my own. And, you know, how you talk about your life partner, I was looking for someone to do life with. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of Gen X women are looking for that. And I'm very sensitive to a lot of like stuff that I hear about dating. It's always, oh, I can help you find a husband. I'm like, yeah, but not every woman wants a husband.
You know? I'm like, done that, been there, done it.
Like, yeah, like I have a husband now because that's just how we progress. So now right. we ended up getting married. But, you know, in the beginning, I was definitely not looking for a husband. I just wanted a life partner. And I love your story. And thank you so much for sharing. But the time commitment to finding a life partner is worth it. And some, and you know, finding him is one thing, but then like how you grew into getting to know him better, mm-hmm. like that's the other part of it. You know, find him, get to know him, validate that he's really the right one for you based on whatever your five things are, right? Whatever things that mean the most to you, and to make sure that he aligns with those. Like, I love that. I love your story. It's so great.
What were, do you mind if I ask you, like when you talk about those sort of five things, or like what are like either from your perspective or even from some of your clients that like always sort of come up as being sort of like those top five?
The five core values?
Yeah, like that you often see. I mean, because everyone's going to be slightly different, but you talked about before, like maybe it's financial for you. Yeah. Like, you know, not that this person has to care for you financially. That might not be it, because you already established that as midlife women, a lot of us have like the means to take care of ourselves financially. But having somebody that's on par, you know, that can, you know, afford to go to the same places as us can make a difference in the relationship. What would be some of the other common ones?
Yeah, so some common ones are family. Mm-hmm. That's a very common one. Love of family or respect for family. And that goes back into if you have, you know, a blended family, right? You both have children. How does that person respect your boundaries around family? Do you want to go around the family all the time? Mm-hmm. And if you have aging parents, you know, so my mother passed away a couple of years ago, and that was a huge time commitment. I became her caregiver at a certain point, and that took time away from the relationship. And did my partner, was he supportive of that time that I needed and help support me emotionally? So that's important.
Right.
Money is an important part for Gen X women. And not because we want someone to take care of us, but because we definitely want someone who can share the lifestyle that we want to have or that we want mm-hmm. to continue. Another one I think is that keeps showing up, and I think for me was freedom. It's independence.
Yeah.
Right? When you're Gen X, like, especially for me, I'm very independent, and my partner has to be okay with allowing me to have time to myself and not be worried that, oh, well, what, don't you need me? Don't you want me around? And it's like,
right.
Yeah, but I need my time too. I need to do other things, mm-hmm. especially now that I have my own business and, you know, I'm fully into my entrepreneurship. Like, my husband is very supportive of what I do. And now I'm traveling more too, which adds another layer of my freedom. And that's important. I think for a lot, like for you, was that important for you being independent?
It was definitely important, because I think like you sort of talk about, depending on the path that you've taken in your early adult years, like for me, and we're maybe somewhat similar. It's like, you know, had the partner, had the kids, like did, you know, got the career, did the checklist that we were supposed to do right. as young adult women. And then we get to midlife and it's just like, I want to create my own checklist now. Like, I have the means, I have the confidence, I have the skills, I have the abilities, I've done that. And so now I want to create my own checklist. I'm not going to create the checklist that, you know, society or family or whatever, or tradition predicated upon me. And so it's like, I want to create that. Again, not every midlife woman is in that situation. And that comes from obviously education, family upbringing, all those different types of privileges that we get bestowed upon us to have that ability to do that in midlife. But yeah, freedom's a big part of it. I mean, my daughters are, I'm like soon to be an empty nester. They're young, going into like, you know, late teenagehood to early adulthood. And so that is definitely something. Like, I want to be able to travel with my partner. I want to be able to do things with them, but I also want to go away on my own or go away on a girls' weekend. Like, I don't want to feel like I have to account to anybody, versus before, obviously I did as a parent, you know, as a wife, as somebody that, you know, I don't know, shared a mortgage together, you know, like things like that, where it's like, okay, I had those responsibilities. I feel some of those responsibilities are now coming off my plate and off my shoulder. So, and I can like do what I want. It's really exciting. But you know, I recognize that that's not always the same situation. I mean, is that, I mean, when you talk about freedom, is that sort of your definition of freedom or
slightly? Yeah, you know, just freedom of me, freedom to do whatever the hell you want to do. and their partner is fine with that. Like they're good. And, you know, for my husband, right, I think that was important to him too. Like he wanted to be able to maintain his independence. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting because when we purchased our home together, you talk about finances and all that. When we decided to cohabitate, you know, that picking the house was very important because the house had to have space for each of us so that we could have our separate spaces. You know what I mean? Like I could go over here and that's like my area and he can go over there and that's his area. And then when we're ready, we could come together and share a space. So yeah, maintaining independence is very important. One of the values that I had and a lot of the women that I work with have too.
I love that. So if after hearing this podcast, someone wants to work with you, what would that look like? What would that experience be?
Yeah. So working with me, I always, working with me is great, first of all.
Of course.
So I always bring clients in and women who work with me, I bring them into, you know, it's a whole process. So there's always this first one-on-one call. I have a conversation. We talk about where you are and just get to know each other. And then I try to, you know, find out, you know, what's holding you back. If there's anything holding you back, because sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just you know, you need a little push to get going. Mm-hmm. And then coming up with an actual plan, right? What is the plan to get you from where you are now to where you eventually want to be? And that can look like different things for different women. But I do have like a 4-part system that I walk women through. And it really helps. It's the same system that I use to find my life partner. And it has helped many women.
I love that. I also love the fact too that I would think of you if I was back in, you know, the situation of dating again as being somebody that's like kind of a neutral party. Because usually it's like we go to our friends and our family, and not to say that you shouldn't, but they'll have their opinions, right? Like someone who had said to you, oh, well, are you looking for a husband? I was like, well, no, not quite yet. Like I'm just like, you know, starting the dating process, right? Or I'm just looking to, you know, go to the movies with somebody. I don't want to be like alone when I go to the movies. Although sometimes I love going to movies alone. So it's so awesome. It's just like that, like, oh, nobody knows who I am here. And I'm like, it's exciting. But I think, yeah, it would be refreshing. And I think, you know, to have somebody on the sidelines cheering you on, you know, helping you sort of stay committed to whatever you wanted to commit to as far as your dating or that next relationship that you wanted to invest in. Versus sometimes, again, like family, friends, they may have their own values about things. Or like, again, when I say, oh, I dated 20 men before I met my partner, like, I don't even know if my mother knows that about me. And I don't mind sharing on my podcast because I don't think my mother listens to my podcast. But, you know, like there's maybe a little bit of shame with that. Like, you know, like, what does that mean? Like she dated 20 men before she met her partner. I'm like, well, yeah, like you know, I wanted to like interview, like I come from the business world. It's like, before you hire that person for your team, you know, you want to meet with a few candidates. It's the same thing. Like this is Team Brenda, like who wants to be on my team? I need to make sure they're part of it. Did some of my friends think that that was a good thing? Yes, no, a lot of people had opinions on that. So.
Yeah. You know, I think family and friends, they mean well, mm-hmm. right? Because they love us, right? And they want to keep us safe. But I don't believe that they are always the best to help coach mm-hmm. or to help us move into a different, you know, where we want to end up. That's why coaches are important. Dating coaches, business coaches, life coaches, you know, those type of people who are, who can share their experiences, who can share their skill set to help move people. I think those are the people that if you're serious that you want to connect with. Mm-hmm. Because like for me, right, when I'm helping a client, I'm concerned for her, right? And I really care, but I'm not thinking about her, you know, back when she was like a teenager. Like I don't have that point of reference.
Right.
And sometimes when you deal with family, they remember you when you were, you know, yay big, and now you're here, but they still connect with the younger part of you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's not helpful to move you forward. Same thing with friends. Friends know this certain part of you and you may not have revealed this other side of you to them. And that's why sometimes friends don't, and sometimes they do, but oftentimes friends and family are just not the right resource to help you move to the next level.
Well, I think you said it. It's like friends and family are friends and family. Keep them in those roles. They're not your coach. If you need a coach, go hire a coach. And go to that person that can really, you know, help you, because they've got the framework, they've got the model, they've demonstrated that they've done it themselves, and they've helped other people do it. So I think that is a good lesson, right? It's like sometimes like we expect our friends and family to be everything to us, and we might be like, over inflating their job description a little bit. So going well beyond their pay grade in some cases. So I think that's really good advice. So if someone was starting today, like what would be that tip that you would give them? It's like, I want to start dating. I want to start building towards finding a relationship to find my life partner. What would be kind of like the first thing that you would want them to do?
The first thing that I would recommend is to get a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, put down guy number one, guy number two, and think about the last two men that you dated, the last two relationships, and write down the things that drew you to them. What were those things? List them down. And then circle, right, the things that are in common between both of them. And then look at those things and say, and determine, are these things really important to me in a man? Are these things, you know, and find out what are, and that goes back into what are your values? You know, are things that you circle your real values? And if they are not, cross those things out.
Okay.
But really look at that. Compare the last two relationships that you've had that did not, and maybe they did go well, but you just, I want, because it's really about identifying what is drawing you to these men. What is it? We'll start there first. Find out what is drawing you to the men. Do they match your core values? And if they don't, cross them out.
I love it. I love doing lists too. I love doing the objectives, right? You know, and then it's just right there on paper. It's like, there's no hiding it. And it's not like you're broadcasting it on a billboard. It's just in your journal on a list of paper. I love it. Where can people find you?
Oh, so people can find me, of course, on Instagram, Gen X Dating Coach, or go to my website, NadiaEdwards.com. And if you go to NadiaEdwards.com, you can actually download. I have this free audio training, which is fantastic. And it goes through everything about how to find a man, or how to find a good man, which women ask me all day, every day. How do I find a man?
Awesome. I think you actually shared the link with us. So we're going to put it in the show notes too, so people can find it there. So it's like really easy for them to get it, which is amazing. Nadia, one more question for you. If I was to give you a billboard and you could put anything on it and have it anywhere in the world, what would it say on it and where would you put it?
Wow. If I had a billboard, oh my gosh. Okay. So because I am a native New Yorker, the billboard would have to be in Times Square, because like where else?
The most expensive real estate too.
It has to be in Times Square. And then the billboard, what would it say? Oh, this is such a great question, Brenda. The billboard would say, oh my gosh, the billboard would say something like, Gen X women looking for the right man, reach out to me, something like that. And I have a picture of me like that.
Okay.
Something like this.
Awesome. Fully. Yeah. Full high fashion. Awesome. I love it. Well, the question comes from Tim Ferriss, so I can't take credit for the question, but he often asks it on his podcast. And so I love that question. So I sometimes ask my guests that. Yeah, Times Square is amazing. And obviously there's lots of people coming to New York looking for things, right? Looking for opportunities, looking for love, all those amazing things. Nadia, it's been awesome having you on today. And thanks so much for sharing your wisdom about how to help Gen X women with dating. It's been fabulous.
Oh, thank you for having me, Brenda. I so appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you.